Hi, I'm Edwin.
And I'm Andrew. Sound the
battle cry. Two men,
15 minutes.
Eternal impact.
Welcome to Text Talk.
For the Lord, gird your armor on, stand firm, everyone, rest your cause upon.
Hello, Andrew.
Hey there, Edwin.
I am happy to talk about Revelation 5 with you again today.
How could you not be? It's such a great chapter.
It is a great chapter, but where we left it yesterday is with a scroll covered in seven seals, and John is not able to look into it. We left a little bit of hope that he's about to get some good news.
Because it could contain good news, but it certainly was a cliffhanger.
Yeah.
Because we actually left him crying there yesterday.
He's crying because he does not. He's been called up into heaven to get this mm-hmm. heavenly perspective, mm-hmm. and now the scroll that contains the heavenly perspective is sealed.
Yeah.
So
we're going to pick up there. I'm going to be reading from the New King James Version today, and I'll be reading Revelation chapter 5. And I saw in the right hand of him who sat on the throne a scroll written inside and on the back, sealed with seven seals. Then I saw a strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice, "Who is worthy to open the scroll and to loose its seals?" And no one in heaven or on the earth or under the earth was able to open the scroll or to look at it. So I wept much, because no one was found worthy to open and read the scroll or to look at it. But one of the elders said to me, "Do not weep. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, has prevailed to open the scroll and to loose its seven seals." And I looked, and behold, in the midst of the throne and of the four living creatures, and in the midst of the elders stood a lamb, as though it had been slain, having seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent out into all the earth. Then he came and took the scroll out of the right hand of him who sat on the throne. Now when he had taken the scroll, the four living creatures and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, each having a harp and golden bowls full of incense, which are the prayers of the saints. And they sang a new song, saying, "You are worthy to take the scroll and to open its seals, for you were slain and have redeemed us to God by your blood out of every tribe and tongue and people and nation, and have made us kings and priests to our God. And we shall reign on the earth." Then I looked, and I heard the voice of many angels around the throne, the living creatures, and the elders, and the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands of thousands, saying with a loud voice, "Worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. And every creature which is in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and such as are in the sea, and all that are in them, I heard saying, 'Blessing and honor and glory and power be to him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb forever and ever.' Then the four living creatures said, 'Amen.' And the 24 elders fell down and worshiped him who lives forever and ever."
I hadn't thought about it before, but notice that it's a mighty angel or a strong angel,
yeah,
that cries out, "Who is worthy to open?" You would think one of these four living creatures, one of these elders, or maybe this mighty strong angel would have the ability to take these seals and break them so that the scroll could open. But even the mighty strong angel is not worthy to do that.
I was also struck in this reading with that it's almost like there's this search for,
yes,
who may be worthy.
Yeah.
And after we have exhausted heaven, earth, under the earth, everywhere you might look in this creation, no one is worthy.
No one is worthy. No one is worthy. Honestly, I'll just throw this out, just thought about it. It does remind me of a search that was had at the beginning when God had created Adam and is looking for a helper, and there's a search for a helper,
for
and
Adam.
Then God brings the helper. I kind of bring that up because I know the word helper there, it's like used 19 times in the Old Testament, and 16 of them refer to God himself.
Mm-hmm.
So here's the search, that the helper that we really need is God.
God brings the help.
Here we come again. There's a search. There's a search through heaven and earth and under the earth, all the creatures, and nobody can open it. And so John is mourning. That's where we stopped yesterday. But now one of the elders says, no, it's okay.
Mm-hmm. Don't weep.
Don't weep. Why not?
Because Look who has arrived. It is the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David. He has prevailed to open the scroll and to loose its seven seals. A prevailing Lion of the tribe of Judah. Here's some language again that is just steeped in Old Testament scripture and really prophecy about the Messiah.
Right, right. And where does that begin?
I mean, back in Genesis.
This is long, long prophecy. This is the deep, deep magic from way back in time.
The deep, deep magic. A little C.S. Lewis for your early morning commute. Listen, yeah. I mean, I thought that too. Whenever I read about this Lion in the tribe of Judah, I go to this association with Aslan and some of the readings of Lewis and even those cool movies they made.
Yeah.
You know, with the Liam Neeson voice and the whole deal.
Well, this is why he chose that image to be his Christ figure, is mm-hmm. that Jesus is the Lion of the tribe of Judah. Mm-hmm. And Aslan, I think we've learned, we were looking it up, is Turkish for lion.
Turkish word for lion.
And was often used as an epithet to refer to kings. So mm-hmm. he's tied all that together. But he is the Lion of the tribe of Judah. So it goes deep, deep, way back in history, the promise and prophecy. I think we can go all the way back to Genesis.
Yeah, I think that's right. When Israel, that is Jacob, is bringing his sons before him as sort of last words and blessings, he speaks to Judah and talks to Judah about a scepter, about a rule that will be for him.
Genesis 49 and verse 8, Judah, your brothers shall praise you. Your hand shall be on the neck of your enemies. Your father's son shall bow down before you. Judah is a lion's cub. From the prey, my son, you have gone up. He stooped down. He crouched as a lion and as a lioness. Who dares rouse him? The scepter shall not depart from Judah, and the ruler's staff from between his feet until tribute comes to him. And to him shall be the obedience of the peoples, binding his foal to the vine and his donkey's colt to the choice vine. He has washed his garments in wine, his vestures in the blood of grapes. His eyes are darker than wine, his teeth whiter than milk. This is the promise regarding Judah, that he is blessed as the one who will be the ruler. And it's an interesting contrast, because in Genesis, some of the story of this family begins with Joseph having a dream of the brothers bowing down to him.
Sure.
Which does happen,
yeah.
Of course, as he becomes the one that rescues them from the famine and they get to go into Egypt. But now, as Jacob is looking ahead, as Israel is looking into the future, the one who is going to step up, though, and be the ruler, who's going to be the one which has the scepter, rules with a rod of iron, it's going to be Judah.
And it's a curious thing, because when you read your Old Testament history, you find out that when the people finally cry out for a king, the first one that is appointed is a man named Saul from the tribe of Benjamin.
Yeah.
From the tribe
That's
of Benjamin.
Kind of odd, isn't it?
And yet after the experiment with the Saul monarchy, God cast that aside to anoint one as king, a man after his own heart.
Yeah.
That is David, who is from the tribe of Judah. And we see, not only do we have Judah called to mind in the words to John, but also the root of David.
Yeah.
Now we're in this family line of kings.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So root of David, that brings to my mind what we find in Isaiah. In Isaiah chapter 11, beginning at verse 1. And let me get over there to that one. In Isaiah chapter 11. There shall come forth a shoot from the stump of Jesse, a branch from his roots shall bear fruit. And then we get down to verse 10. In that day, the root of Jesse, who shall stand as a signal for the peoples, of him shall the nations inquire, and his resting place shall be glorious. Jesse, of course, is David's father.
Sure.
So here's that root promise, but now it's a root of Jesse, who, of course, would also be a root of David. I think in Isaiah 11, though, the reason why it picks up Jesse is the idea that we're not just looking for a descendant of David, we're looking for a new David.
Mm-hmm.
We're looking for the ultimate David, the ultimate anointed one. The Messiah is going to be this one who is not just of the lineage of David, but is basically a renewal of David. As David is that one who is a man after God's own heart, a man of God's own choosing, a man whom God has set up as the anointed, here is the one that God ultimately, and everything that we read in the Old Testament about the Son, the king, is looking forward to this one, and John gets to see him right here in the throne room of God.
I think that's so neat in Isaiah when I remember that Isaiah is a contemporary of King Hezekiah, and as he has moved to write about the hope of Israel, it's not dropping Hezekiah's name in there.
No.
He's going back to Jesse and to David. So I think to your point, it is well underscored. So John is receiving comfort now, being told that there's a lion, that there's a root, and that he has prevailed.
He's prevailed. He's conquered.
Mm-hmm.
And that's because he has conquered, he is worthy to open the scrolls. He's going to be able to break these seals so that John and us,
right,
so that we are able to see the vision, so that we are able to know the message. And what a great and amazing thing this is, that the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Messiah, the King, has come. He's opening the scroll. He's breaking the seals. The message is going to be revealed, all because of his victory. That we see, which is the stage has been set for that in some of the preamble of the book of Revelation.
Oh, absolutely.
As it already in the preamble, it talked about how Jesus has made us kings and priests, how he has ransomed and bought people from every nation and tribe. And some of that is now incorporated into this worship that we see in Revelation chapter 5.
Yeah. So an announcement is made. The Lion has come. I guess tomorrow we'll have a little talk about what he looks like when
he
shows
looks
up.
Like. Yeah, I mean, how magnificent must a lion must look like? I'm hearing it's a lion, and I'm expecting to turn around and see that, and we'll find out tomorrow.
Hey,
let me
tell you something about lions, okay? So I had a little opportunity. This your old stomping grounds, University of North Alabama.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Had those lions there, live lions as mascots.
Yep.
And I was talking to an alumni of that, and I said, What was that like walking to class, walking by that big lion exhibit on different days? And he said, I mean, it was always pretty cool. They were pretty mellow. And he goes, but every once in a while in the middle of the night at like 2 a.m., something would wind him up. And he goes, when you hear a lion roar early in the morning, he goes, I don't care who you are. That's eerie. That's scary.
That's scary. Yeah. Yeah. I never got to hear that. I guess I went far enough away that I didn't get to hear that. So yeah, that's sure enough.
But when they roar, man, it's regal. It's powerful. Everybody knows. I mean, this is an incredible image of power. The Lion of the tribe of Judah has come.
And John's been told, take a look. We'll find out tomorrow what he sees. I'm going to go ahead and wrap us up with prayer. God, thank you. Thank you for the Lion of the tribe of Judah. Thank you for revealing that message. Here we are in a picture of a scroll that is sealed, but throughout history, you've given revelation. You have provided apocalypse. You've pulled the curtain back on what your plans are. And from the very beginning, your plan was to bring us a king, and that he would conquer, and the scepter would never leave from his side and from between his feet. And we are amazed that from Genesis to Revelation, we see that Lion of the tribe of Judah. And we give honor and glory and power and strength and might and blessing to you sitting on the throne, to your Son who is the Lion, to your Spirit. We are in awe that you let us be around your throne, calling out your praise and submitting to your rule. Thank you. Thank you for bringing us into your family and into your city and into your kingdom. It is through your Son, our King, we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Thanks for talking about the text with us today. I'm Edwin Crozier, and I'd like to invite you to join the Christians who meet on Livingston Avenue in Lutz, Florida, this Sunday for our Bible classes and worship. You can find out more at christiansmeethere.org. Check out our daily written devotional that goes along with today's episode. You can find a link for it in our show notes. Michael Eldridge sang all four parts of our theme song. You can get more from him at acapeldridge.com. Please remember to subscribe, rate, and review Text Talk in your favorite podcast app so others can find it and learn about it more easily. Have a fantastic day.
Steady, pass the word along. Onward, forward, shout aloud, Hosanna. Christ is captain of the mighty throne.